word of God. The Bible said there was nothing that was made without the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. There is nothing that you need in life, there is nothing that you will ever, that your life will ever require, that is not available in the word of God. And therefore, the time when the word of God is being shared is not an idle time. It's not a joking moment. It should be the most serious time of our lives. Because there is nothing that can ever have shape, that can ever have meaning without the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that the earth was without form. It was what? Full of darkness. It was void. It was empty. Until the word came, the earth has had no shape. The word of God is coming to your life right now. Everything that has been described as shapeless in your life, receive shape today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The earth was without form. It was without beauty. Completely empty. But when the word came, everything was transformed. I speak the word of God into your life today, that every emptiness of your life will experience transformation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The God has spoke that his plan for us, his agenda for us, is of good and not of bad. He said to give us a hope and the expected end. That God is meeting you at the point of your need in the mighty name of Jesus. In this year of divine enlargement, your testimony will appear for all to see in the mighty name of Jesus. Above all, you will never be a concern to this world in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, we rely on you for the revelation of the truth in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And so last week we started a series called The Prevailing Prayer. Say, The Prevailing Prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Are we still alive?
Yes.
And we were able to look at the reason why we have to pray. I'm talking about the part one of it, why prayer. And we're able to establish from the scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 1, starting from verse 26, the Bible made us to understand that we were created in the image of God. Let's go there. We always go back to that 1:26 every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 1:26 said, and God said, are we there?
Yes.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Thank you, Jesus. And so God made man and gave him dominion or authority over the earth. The psalmist writing, he said, the earth, the heaven is the throne of God, but the earth he has given to what? To the children of men. And so we said that when God created this earth, he created his children called men, and he gave us authority over this earth. And because of that, there is nothing God will do here that will not first of all ask man to give him the permission to do it. Not because he did not possess the power to do it, because he's the Almighty God. He is the omnipresent God. He is the omniscient God. He knows everything. But because the law that he has put into place, it necessitates that we must give him permission. He does not get crushed into people's life. Thank you, Jesus. And we have to understand that one very well. And I said last week, just like you rented your apartment from a particular company, once you sign the contract, the company does not come to your house to open your house when you are not there. Even though they own the apartment, it will be illegal for them to come and start opening your cupboard. Hello?
Hi.
Can you imagine coming back from work and you see somebody opening your cupboard, playing with your TV in your sitting room, and you ask him, say, where are you from? Say, I'm from the company that owned this apartment. Will you take it easy with him? And say, oh, you're a nice person. Thank you for taking care of my TV. No, you call the police straight. Hallelujah. And so God made that law. He made that decree. And he said in that book of Jeremiah, let's go there, Jeremiah 29. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 29, let's start from verse 10. Jeremiah 29, 10. He said, for thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. God will visit you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said, the Almighty will visit you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
God said, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return into this place. Talking about restoration. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God said, he will visit his people. That no matter what happened, he will perform his word that he said, or his counsel, or his promise concerning them. He will visit them. But how will he do that? Will he just wake up and say, okay, let me go and visit them? No. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord of hosts, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So he said, I will visit you according to my plan, and I will restore you. But how will that restoration happen? Verse 12. He said, then shall ye call upon me. Hello?
Amen.
Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So, without prayer or without calling on him, restoration is not in view. Remember 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So until you call on him, healing for your land is not in view. Hello? Until you call heaven for help, your help is not in view. Even though he is a very present help in the time of trouble, but you have to call on him. You know that even in the natural, every sovereign state has its own right. Sweden cannot wake up and say, okay, I want to go to Norway. As from today, we own Norway. There is a rule that allows the United Nations to defend any other nation. If a nation tried to do that for them, you remember when Iraq invaded, is it Kuwait? Which country? You see, United Nations, being led by America, they went there and removed them and said, no, you don't have rights. Hello? In the same way, God said he will not get crushed into your life. You have to give him the permission. Philemon verse 14. He said, without thy mind, I can do nothing. Hello? Without your consent, without your agreement, I can do nothing. God wants us to come back to him. He sent his only begotten son. Jesus paid the price. And in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish. So you believe in him, you call him to come and be your Lord and your Savior, then you are saved. Hello? So we always have responsibility. Hello? And so we look at that. If you have time, please take time to go to the internet and listen to that message again. We don't have much time here. Average message. If I try to drag it, thank God I've been dragging us these days. Hallelujah. And I'm still dragging more. Hallelujah. Because it's average between 50 minutes, 40 something is most of the time. And so, if you look at it, we have only 52 Sundays in a year. By the time we look at it, we don't have enough time. And that's why it's good for us to spend time on personal basis to listen to it again and get and download more things from it. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so today we want to quickly go to the second part of it. Remember, the word of God says in the book of James. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 5 and verse 13. He said in James 5:13, he said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. We have it on the screen. You can look at it. He said, is any among you afflicted? Every affliction of your life expires today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In this month of answered prayer, every affliction that has been buffeting your family expires today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord God of heaven will remember you for good today in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And what will the elder do? They will cry? No. They will pray. He said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with what? With oil in the name of the Lord. And say, if he has committed a sin, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Now, you see, look at that verse. See that the common word there is prayer, prayer, prayer. So you see that that particular verse is about prayer. And then he said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, verse 17. He said, Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Remember that scripture we read? I like the way that our brother read it for us. It was very, very clear. In fact, we could even close there. Elijah said, you know, at that time, there was high level of ungodliness in the nation, not just like we have now. Now, if you go to the street and you carry your Bible and you say, oh, Jesus is Lord, and you say, oh, what did he drink? He doesn't have work. Ungodliness has become the order of the day. Now, when you tell people, Jesus loves you, they think you are crazy. And that was the same situation in Israel. But it was not just that. At that time, they did not, you know, in the natural, there is no vacuum. When you are not, if you have not given your heart to God, your heart will be with the devil. There is something called a spiritual orphan. Hello? Even, you know, by the law of any serious nation, there is nothing like orphan per se. Because when a child loses his father and mother, and there's nobody to adopt him, the government adopts them. So there's no parentless children that's supposed to be in any serious nation. And so when people are not serving the living God in any nation, there's nothing like a neutral nation. We have what we call a secular nation, isn't it? But it is just a word we use to encourage ourselves. There's nothing like a secular nation. It's either your nation belongs to God or it belongs to the devil is in charge. We try to be politically correct, just like one regime in the U.S., you know, before they cancel it now, said, oh, don't say Happy Christmas again, so that we won't offend some people. Deception of the highest order. Hello? When you are not serving God, you are serving the devil. So at that time, when Israel decided to leave the Almighty God, leave serving Almighty God, as being led by the king then, being inspired by his wife Jezebel. Jezebel was so powerful that he did not allow the man to be in charge. You know, the Bible said that women, submit yourself to your husband. And so he took the place of the husband. I mean, she took the place of the husband and started diverting the nation to idolatry. And then he so much encouraged idolatry to the extent that they were serving Baal and every other devils. And also he gained ground to the extent that he then commanded that the servants of God, the prophets, should be killed. You remember, in verse 2 of that second king that we read, he said the governor or the administrator of the king. You know, every king has an administrator. This administrator was godly, isn't it? Obadiah. And so, when his king asked them to go and kill all the prophets, he saved 100 in a cave, and he was supplying them. That's why you see that every 50-50. You see, everywhere where you have demonic ruler, there are still people around them that are godly. And so, what I'm trying to say is that at this point in time, Israel was at the other side. And so, the prophet of God went and said, if God be God, say, let there be no rain. If you don't want to come out to the living God, there won't be any rain in this nation for 3 years. And so rain stopped falling. How did this do that? He prayed. You saw it here in the James that we read, that he prayed and raised. He said, it rained not in the earth. He said, Elijah was a man subject to like passion. So Elijah was ordinary man like you and I. In fact, he didn't have the kind of power you have, because the Holy Spirit is living in you now. It was the time of Old Testament. They were not even born again then. And therefore, the Holy Spirit could not live in them. Yet, a man in the ordinary state, he shook the whole nation and he said, if God be God, there won't be rain in this nation. He locked the heaven. You know, the Bible says that he has given us authority to tread upon snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Hello? He said, whatsoever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose here on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The key that unlocks this earth has been given to you. And so, if revival is not happening in your nation, it's because the church is sleeping. Hello? That situation will have become a forgotten case. Had he been, brethren, interceded on that Friday? Hello? That's the truth. That is the truth. They will have been weeping and mourning, but blessed be God now. When brethren say, no, you devil, you can't have your way. This is a seed of Abraham. What I'm trying to say is that Elijah was ordinary man like you. So don't just watch what you don't want. Pray, sir. Thank you, Jesus. He said, and he prayed again, and heaven opened. So you have the right to unlock and to lock. Thank you, Jesus. But there is something I want us to understand. In John chapter 5 and verse 14, thank you, Jesus. John 5, 14, 2 to 15, he said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask how many things? All things. Anything. According to his will, he heareth us. 1 John. Not John the Gospel. 1 John 5:14. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, if we ask anything, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Hello? Amen. So, when we pray according to the will of God, what is the will of God?
the word of God or the plan of God. And he already made us understand in that scripture that we read in Jeremiah chapter 29 that his plan for us is of good, not of bad, to prosper us and to give us the expected end. So if we pray according to that, the expected end is sure. Did you get that?
Yes.
1 John 5:14. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask for anything according to his will, he heareth us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
If you read the Amplified Version, Amplified Bible, he said, thank you, Lord. That's St. James. James chapter 5 and verse 16 of it. I want to read the Amplified Version. You don't have that on the screen. Let me just read it as you listen. He said, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, or your sleep, your first steps, your offense, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. He said, the earnest, the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes a tremendous power available. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So he said, going back to that James, he said, in King James Version, he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. What does it mean to pray fervently? What's the meaning of effectual fervent prayer? It is not every prayer that God answers. You have to understand that one. So that you will not be praying religious prayer. It is better you sit down and eat or sleep rather than pray nonsense prayer, because God doesn't answer that kind of prayer. For example, if your prayer is not according to his word or his will, that's what I told you last Sunday. I said, when you are praying, don't close your Bible. Open your Bible. Pray according to the word of God. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer. What does it mean to be fervent? The word fervent means hot, burning, and glowing. You know the word fever. Anybody know the meaning of the word fever? When somebody has fever, if you call 11, is it 117? What's the first thing they will ask? They will ask you, what is the temperature? Hello, I've called, I know I called, especially for the children. The first thing is that they will ask for the temperature. If you say you don't have, you remember the way the nurses do here. They will start yapping you. So go and get it. Hello, at the time I was forced to download the app that you have to put the thing on your screen and give you the temperature. Because whenever you call. So the fever has to do with heat from inside that comes outside. So when somebody has fever and you touch him, does it feel cold? No, it's hot. The same word fervent came from that. He can't talk about the inner heat. The heat from within. So you can read that scripture like this. That effectual, hot, glowing prayer that comes from your heart gives you result. The word fervent also came the word energio. Energy. The Greek word, energio. So you're talking about hot, powerful. Say powerful. Hallelujah. I like the way the Yorubas call it. He says you pray like somebody whose hand is trapped in the door of a car. When your hand is trapped, when you are sitting at the back and you put your hand in the wrong place and somebody jammed the door, bah, do you speak Queen English? You don't have time for Queen English. You shout, hey, Gamio, save me. You see, that's the way you pray. You pray as if nobody is watching you around. Hello? Yes, thank God for our mommies here. When you are in the labor room, if the nurse is a sweet, do you try to remember the accent they taught you in SFE? No! You just shout anyhow! Hallelujah! He said, oh, take it easy. Easy what? It's not easy. Don't take it what is easy. You are sweating, you are pushing. That's the way prayer is. Hello? I see God coming to save you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I see God sending his help towards you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the word fervent means to be hot, to be burning as of fire. Thank you, Jesus. But what I want us to understand that even though when you pray according to his will, he heareth us,
But the kind of place where that prayer is coming from also matter. Hello? It is not enough to just call on God. Just like any sacrifice that you give, any house sacrifice that is not coming from an altar that's been approved by God is a wasted sacrifice. And that's why I want to quickly look at the prayer altar. What does it look like? In the Old Testament, when they want to sacrifice, how do they do it? They build altar. You know what it's called, altar? How many of us were there at the Grief Fest? The Grief Fest last year. You remember Papa Dio? He went to collect wood, and I carry wood as well. You see, that place where we grill meat is called altar. That is where they used, in the Old Testament, if they want to sacrifice animal to the Lord, they call the animal, just like you read in that scripture, you call it into priest and put it on the altar. But at that time, they didn't have the type of metal we have now. They used to use stones to build it. But if you remember that scripture we read, at that time, because the prophets of God, of Most High God, were being harassed, they were killed, they were being killed. Most of them, they ran away. And those who were left, they were living in the cave. There was nobody to attend to the altar of God anymore. And therefore, that altar became broken down. Just like if you don't use what they call that grill thing, that grilling pan. I don't know what they call it again. What's that pan? If you use it this year, and water falls on it, rain falls on it, it will rust. If you don't use it 1 year, 2 year, third year, what will happen to it? It will start decaying to the extent that you won't be able to use it again. Hello? That was what happened to the altar of God. Because no, there was nobody to sacrifice there. It disappeared. And that's what's happening here now. How many people spend time to pray? We are facing the same situation right now. Because it's no more popular to pray. Everybody wants to say, oh, I want that priest. Just bless me. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. People are even paying pastors to pray for them now. They're just being a fool anyway. Hello? Because, can I love you more than myself? You can't. Don't deceive yourself. Jesus didn't say love your neighbor more than yourself. Ask yourself. So, you ask somebody that is to pray for you, and you go and cross leg. You're not praying for yourself. Maybe he's drinking a camel at the time you think he's praying for you. Hallelujah. No, I had that experience. I told you. I think I told Brother Douglas that one of my mates, I went to see him in Lagos then, was a pastor. And he asked his boys to organize for rice and beans and plenty dodo and everything. And was enjoying himself. Ah! And he said, see for me. You know, today is a fasting day. Members were fasting. He was enjoying dodo. Hello? And you want to entrust yourself in the hand of such pastor? you are risking your future. Your future is too wonderful to be left in the hand of any man. Don't try it. Hello? May God help us, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What you're talking about is that there is a need for the sacrifice to come from one altar. But thank God that in the New Testament day, the altar that we're talking about, we don't need that kind of altar anymore. The altar now is your heart. Thank you, Jesus. And like the case of Elijah, you know, when he came back to prove that to prove that the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, is still alive, what did he do? He didn't say, oh no, let's just make any fire. No, no, say no. Say now, let's prove it. Go and bring your own gods, your own prophets. 450 prophets of Baal. And 450 prophets of Asheroth or one other goddess that they were serving then. He said, now, make your own altar and make my own altar. Isn't it? Cut the bull and let them have. They cut it and everything. They cried and said, even mocked them. Say, maybe your God has traveled to your Tibori. Or maybe the ticket he bought didn't work. They put him in one hotel, he's sleeping. I said, what nonsense God. That God and God is not the God that we are serving. But when it was the time of Elijah, he didn't rush. So no, I'll do my own. No. What did he do first? He repaired the altar that was broken down. Hello? And that's why we need to understand this very well. That it is
Only the prayer that comes from a altar that is functioning well, that God will answer. And that's why you can see people pray. You know, a lot of time we used to think that, if that pastor can pray for me, God answer. God doesn't answer pastors faster than other people, because God is not a respecter of persons, sir. That's the truth. There is no scriptural basis for it. That's the truth. No. That is the truth. Everybody has equal right before God. Hello? Hello? Everybody, whether you are black or white, doesn't make a difference. You are man or woman, doesn't make a difference. God is not the respecter of persons. As long as you believe and you have the faith, you decree according to his word, it must happen. That's why the Bible said that Elijah was a man of like passion like us. He was even operating in a more difficult environment, because then, if you are a prophet of God, they will cut off your head. Now, you go around the street of Stockholm, even though there are some level of harassment against the Christian, but nobody still asks you not to carry your Bible. But are we praying? I told us one day when I saw one guy in the train, initially I thought something was wrong with him, but when I moved closer, I saw he was praying the Holy Ghost. He was moving from the end of the one end of the wagon to another, praying. You see, you could see that he was consumed with passion for a change in this nation, sir. Yes, somebody will give excuse. I don't even think I will make it today. Tomorrow I will pray. May the Lord deliver us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So let's understand that the altar of prayer, especially in this New Testament dispensation, is in our heart. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 13. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Time. 1 Samuel 1:13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 13. Let me read from here as well. In verse 13, he said, "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken." You know, Hannah came to pray. Nobody heard her voice. But the altar was burning with fire. Hello? She poured out her heart. I saw unto the Lord and said, "Oh God, I've been coming to Shiloh every year. I've been paying for my ticket every year to come for this program. I'm tired of being just ordinary." You know what makes a woman? A woman is womb. Because we have man. Woman is womb man. Do you know that? And you see, she went to the Lord and said, "No, I can't continue. How can I be walking on the street and being called a childless man or childless woman? This must stop." She poured out her heart unto the Lord according to the word of God. And God said, "I must do something. I see that God remembering you today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ." Yeah. It therefore means that our heart is the meeting place with God. Hello? We can build nice sanctuary. There's nothing wrong in having nice place to worship so that people can be comfortable. But God does not live in the building built with hands. Hello? Because we are the temple of God. He lives in us. Hello? And where does he live? He lives in our spirit. But the meeting point where he meets with us, where he talks with us, is our hearts. Hello? And because of that, we have to guard our hearts with all diligence. Because the altar can be broken down. When the altar is broken down, the fire cannot come there. Let's go back to that 1 Kings 18. Let's go to verse 30. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. First King chapter 18. And in verse 30, the Bible said, let me open here. Sorry. Said, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And what did he do? He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. In verse 30, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. But the first thing he did was to repair the altar. This altar was being abandoned. It was being left out. Nobody attended to it. You go to churches now. You know, when they say iPhone, whatever is coming out, tomorrow, people will go and queue. Even in winter. You know, iPhone comes out in September. People will queue. They are paying their money to get it. They are not giving them for free. But write a program. Praise Jesus the King. Oh, entrance free. Why? They're not interested. The altar has to be repaired for the fire to come. Without that one, there is no fire that you burn that will ascend to heaven. It will become a strange fire. Thank you, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we have to repair our altar. We have to check our lives. What is the condition of my altar? Is your heart still burning for God? When you became a Christian and you couldn't wait till the following day for the person that ministered to you to bring you to church, are you still burning for God like that? Or are you giving excuses? Hello? Are you the one that when they say, go and pray for something, you put it, a lot of time they give us flyer, it becomes an album. You just put it there. We don't really open it till the following Sunday. Average Christian, this day, by statistics, don't even open the Bible during the week. That's why when you say Job, they think it's Job you are talking about. Hallelujah. You don't know it. We don't know the scripture. How will you be able to defend what you don't know? Imagine a lawyer going to court and say, okay, I want to defend my case. They say, present your own strong reason. You say, you will lose that last case fast. May you never be defeated in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The answer to prayer is determined by the position or the condition of your altar or your heart. Thank you, Jesus. As we try to close, I think by the grace of God, we have to continue with this next week. But I just want to mention. Thank you, Jesus. It's our time now. 11 past. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. We have to continue next week. But let me just mention a few things before we close today. But have that understanding that you need your altar. You need your altar to be in the right condition before you can pray for God to answer. Because God is a king. He doesn't eat just anyhow food. Is your altar still burning for God? Many people are going around. They are born again. Some don't even have any altar at all. That means they don't meet with God. Can you imagine you living with your spouse and you don't talk? If you have issue with your spouse and something happened that you can see that, oh, this person, my man or my woman, is behaving so much, doesn't want to talk to me, how do you feel? How does the environment in the house look like that time? It's polluted. Hello? You know, naturally, you won't be at peace except you are Lucifer yourself. Hallelujah. You can't be in that situation and be at peace. That's it. If you cannot pretend, especially men will try to pretend and say, okay, you know, he puts his headphone or his music. He's lying in his heart. He say, this girl. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah to Jesus. May your altar not be damaged in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just look at one or two things that can damage the altar. Then we continue next week. The altar, when it is broken down, cannot generate any fire. Hello, you remember when we wanted to do the grief first? Brother Bonwell, he opened the place and removed all the ashes first. Hello? He didn't just say, okay, I am a very, very good chef. I can know how to prepare meat. Then just start putting the meat there. It won't go grow well. He removed all the ashes and then took fresh coal, isn't it? And start preparing the altar. And when the fire was going down, Papa G went to the bush and supplied us with wood. Without that, we will be eating meat that's not fit. And all of us will have ended up somewhere. I say, wow, in my tummy. So God doesn't eat that kind of food as well. The fire has to be burning. But there are things that can destroy the altar. Number one thing that can destroy the altar is sin. If you are living a sinful life, don't mind all those liars. What does they call it? Psychologists. They say, oh, don't worry. Just say it. You will have it. It's a lie. Your heart has been designed in such a way that if sin is there, you can't have peace. And when you don't have peace, you can't have faith. When you don't have faith, your prayer can't be answered. Hello? So, sin is one of the main, most, I mean, is the major thing that, number one, that makes the heart unfit for prayer. Let's stand up. Because of God, we'll continue next week. But remember that the altar is your heart. Your heart has to be in shape. Don't allow it to be broken down. You cry unto God. I say, no, I won't allow that. Let's conclude with this verse in Psalms 23. If there's anyone that really understands how important the heart is to meeting with God, was a man called David. And that's why every time you see him talking about my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me what? Beside the still waters. Why? To restore my soul or to restore my heart back. When this man sinned against God by sleeping with somebody's wife and even killing the husband, his soul was already polluted. His altar was already polluted. And he therefore addressed, he said, my shepherd, my Lord, take me to the place where there is peace to restore my soul. My soul has to be restored. Because when it is not restored, I cannot have fellowship with you. Our souls has to be restored. Our souls has to be restored. If you read verse 11 and chapter 11 of it, he was addressing it. He was saying, my soul, why are you flying to the mountain? Because see, when you commit sin, you know, think that when people are not even pursuing you, you'll be running. Hello? You'll be running. You know, when you are not home and they have broken something, by the time it is 5 o'clock. They say that is coming at 5 o'clock. He's moving from his room to the other room. Hey, he will lose his peace. they are laughing now. You've done it before. Hallelujah. That's the way it works. When you are living in sin, you can't have peace. Hallelujah. I want us to begin to give God thanks for his mercy. For the ability to restore our soul. He said, he restored my soul. The Lord restored my soul. He restored my soul. That means he put the soul back to where it's supposed to be. The altar, the broken down altar, was restored. And therefore, his relationship was intact. Give God thanks. That is the God of mercy. That he can restore. That it's never too late. It's never too late. Thank you, Jesus. Giving thanks. Magnify his name. Lift him up. Give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You know, in Psalms 19 and verse 7, he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You see, when your heart, you know, in Yoruba they say that means when everything is scattered, you can't plan. You know, I told you what happened to me. About 2 weeks when I was supposed to just use my head to think well. I was cycling and I had issue with ordinary padlock to lock the bicycle. Just mere reasoning to say, okay, let me put the bicycle in the train and go to where I was supposed to go. 1 hour I was perambulating. Number one, I was angry. I was offended that the key was broken. Number two, I was angry that I couldn't call Samuel and say, Samuel, why did you break my key? And I was perambulating. The first train left. I said, what is this? I said, for 1 hour, I was sweating. The same way, you see, when your heart is not in order, it is satanic strategy to make you lose out. So you have to protect your heart. That was what David was doing here. He said, he restored my soul. He restored my heart. What is your soul? The place where your will, your emotion, and your mind is. That's the place. It has to be intact. I want us to pray right now. Lord, restore my soul. Restore my soul. Restore my relationship with you. I come to you afresh, oh God. Take me as I am. Help me, Lord. Every altar that is broken down in my life, by your word, restore, Lord. By your word, restore, Lord. By your word, restore, Lord. Every sin that I'm committing that is polluting my altar, Lord, deliver me from it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, deliver me, oh God. Deliver me, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I cry unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You know, David said, you can take anything from me, but don't take your spirit from me. He knew. He knew the difference. This was a man that was forgotten and forsaken in the bush. Everything was working against him because the devil saw the glory of God upon his life, saying, I will bring down this one. But the Lord restored his soul. I see God restoring your soul in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I see God of restoration visiting you afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you are at the point where you are saying, no, I used to hear God clearly. I used to know what's supposed to happen. See, it's your right, sir. It's your right, ma. Honestly, it's your right. Hardly will a week pass, especially Sunday, that will not give me the download for the Sunday. You know what gave me the confidence to pray for that sister? Because he already showed me that they were going to have a baby. And so when the challenges came, I said, no. Because he has revealed the air from the beginning. So I know that the process to it may be a challenge. There may be a challenge there, but the end is there. And so I had the confidence to say, no, devil, you can't have this one. But how can you hear God when your altar is broken down? You can't. That's why it's so important to your destiny, sir. We are living in a wicked world. Bible said, have respect unto thy covenant, because the dark places of the earth is full of the habitation of cruelty. People are saying, hey, hey, to you. They are laughing with you, but they don't love you. They are trying to dig you down. There are the same people that are saying, no, don't worry, we are with you. But they are going to your boss and bringing you down and writing negative report to you about you at work. But when your altar is in place, you will have settled in with him. I see God visiting you afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This week will not end without you sharing your testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of heaven will visit you afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I decree that whatsoever agent that the devil has assigned to take you out of God's presence, the judgment acts of God fall against that agent in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Grant your people the grace to say no to every ungodly companionship in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everyone that you are hanging around that is trying to lure you out of the place God has placed you. I decree that the grace to detach from such such company be released afresh upon you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, go and come back with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By this time next week, you will not be found in the mortuary in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your children will not be found in the mortuary in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In this perilous time, the covenant of exemption will begin to work in your life in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where others are begging, you will be giving out in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where others are struggling, you will be helping them to the next level in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your holy name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.